There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. 2 hours of live local talk and lots to do on today's show. Talk about the numbers, and we've been talking about them today, as well as the numbers increase nationwide. And, of course, here in Alabama with cases of COVID-19. The president yesterday in that speech at the Rose Garden continued the social distancing period now till at least the end of April. We'll talk more about that. And part of the discussion on Friday's show was an announcement from Governor Kay Ivey and State Director of Alabama Health Department Director Scott Harris that certain businesses were to be shut down in the state. And we went through the list. We talked about them Friday, talked about them this morning as well. But I like to talk to folks that are dealing with this firsthand. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be doing this the whole way through this, as long as this takes. And the process is getting the voices of local folks out and how they are managing this crisis. Number one, from a health side. Number two, from an economic side. And it's good to have my buddy Garrett Williamson from Personal Edge Fitness in studio to talk a little bit more about this. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. And before we get going in this too, Sean, thank you so much for all the information you're putting out, especially for the small businesses, so everybody staying on top of this knows what to do. I really appreciate the information you're giving out about the SBA. All of us are looking at this, but the good thing about it is that it really seems like this community's banding together and everybody's kind of working together on this, which I think is our answer.
I think it is, and I think we're seeing in this country the resiliency that has been there from our founding. But you think about this almost being like a war, like the president talked about a world war,
right,
against,
right,
COVID-19. But here at home, the retooling, people are being handed adversity and Americans are going, okay, all right, I see that. Let me flip it around and do this and something else and make this work.
And running with it. It's funny you use that word, because when this first thing really, really hit us hard a couple of weeks ago, I shot a video, and just, that's exactly what hit me was that whole idea about resilient. Man, that's one thing this country is. It's an amazing, mm-hmm, nation. And I recorded a video and put it out on our Facebook page about being resilient. You know, Lord, we were born under adversity. 1776, mm-hmm. I mean, this country was launched in emergency. We were attacked in 1812, 1776, 1812, in December 7th, 1941, and also again in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
We've been through that. We've been through plagues. We've been through smallpox. We've been through, you know, but at the same time, we've landed on the moon, man.
Yeah.
We've seen the face of Mars. It's amazing what this country can do.
Yeah, and it is the government is one part of it, but it's government of the people. And I think what you see is a resiliency of the citizens and the way to think about it. And it's, I hate that we're doing this, but I'm seeing more creativity and more of that great American spirit during this fight against COVID-19.
Absolutely.
And I think about that. We're going to talk about your story because I brought you in here today to talk about what you're doing.
Right.
But also there's a lot of folks, a lot of local businesses that are doing things a little, instead of just going,
yeah, exactly.
You can't do anything. They're saying, well, what if,
right,
what if I did this? What if I did? You, right, see creative stuff happening every day out there with different companies.
That's what's fascinating to me. It's to see the different things that people are doing, things that you would have never thought of,
right,
that people are changing gears. And also, let's take it down to the personal level, too. How many people, I mean, our church is online now, and it's amazing how many people are reaching out and just saying, hey, look, what can I do for you? How can I pray for you? Can I pick something up for you? Whatever. It's amazing how, honestly, it's bringing our community together. I'm sure that's happened throughout the nation.
And it's the church thing too. That's going to be something with this continuation to the end of April. We're going to it's going to be Easter Sunday, and I think for the first time in American history since the founding of the Republic, we won't have Easter services in the country.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
So churches are doing the same thing. They're right. going online. They're doing, even if they had to, lots of them were doing it before, but there's, I'm not going to get myself in trouble with our church, but there's some that are slower to come online and get, they've been forced into that. So there's some, there's some silver lining to this, that they're going to have to develop the technology and get used to doing things a little bit differently if they have to.
Right, exactly. And I tell you, it's bringing a lot of people, quote unquote, out of their shell in that situation. And I've actually spoken to some people that have had to make these changes. And sort of like you're saying, the going online with the churches.
Yeah.
And man, it's made them change gears. It's brought them a whole different way of operating for themselves.
Yep.
And they're really enjoying it. Like our pastor said this past weekend, he said, man, I really never thought I envisioned myself as a television preacher. But
that's right.
That's what I am right now. So.
And so as we go through this, I invited Garrett in today to talk about this because I thought about you. I mean, I've been thinking about you for weeks on this. But then when the governor had her announcement on Friday,
right?
I mean, it was specifically, as she talked about some of the businesses that would be shut down, gyms were on the list. Training facilities like yours. And I mean, she described you to a T. That meant for you, you had to shut down.
Yeah, we had to close our doors. And honestly, we were watching the trend throughout the nation. We're not surprised about it. Listen, we're all for, like all of us, we're all for flattening the curve. We understand that. So even though while we were allowed to remain open, we keep an extremely clean facility.
Yep.
But on top of that, we immediately did the social distancing. And it's amazing. Our training staff is so... It's so advanced in all this because we've been doing online training. I'll tell you about it in a minute. And because of doing that, we have to be able to describe exercises and not do hands on. So we've been basically hands off now for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But we were taking people outside. We have the ability in the facility to space people out. So this all started for us a couple weeks ago because we had some clients that we didn't even recommend it. Hey, you're high risk. You need to stay at home. And we immediately. Did some changes there, but of course, last Friday, it really changed everything, and that's why we had to go to what we've been doing for the last couple of years with our out-of-state clients, and that is going to online.
It's pretty cool that y'all are training people out of state.
Yeah, we've been doing that for a couple of years now. It actually started with our Catalyst program because we had some people that were interested in doing our Catalyst weight loss program, and they had relatives that were out of town that wanted to do it, and so that's what started it. And then we had clients that when they were traveling didn't want to miss their sessions, and so we started doing some training online. Got to where we have some people that really like it a lot. So we've got for instance one of our best kid trainers or trainers for working with children happens to be on the Eastern Shore. Well, we've got a student that comes over from Mississippi. Well, driving all the way to the Eastern Shore was kind of tough, and so they do online sessions. So we've been doing this for quite some time.
So y'all were already, he had built that muscle.
Right, exactly. We're prepped for it, the technology for it.
But now it's obviously at a broader scope for y'all. And maybe this is one of these places, too, where I'm talking about the growth in this, that in doing this, because being forced to, but there could be some people that maybe showing up in person was something they could never work in, but doing something like you're talking about
might fit
the bill.
And from now on, there's no reason for them to miss a session. And what we're seeing, which is interesting, we run on average somewhere around 60 sessions a day. Okay.
Okay.
And so today, to give you an example, we've got 55 sessions on the books for online training. But the neat thing about that is that we're having clients that are saying, well, wow, I'm taking out drive time because if they're coming from West Mobile, if they're driving from a long way, or, yourself,
yes.
a small businessman, our whole schedules have changed.
Yes.
And so we're grabbing people as soon as they can pick up a phone.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to train, or an iPad or a computer. They can train with us 15, 20, 30 minutes. They're doing that. And so we've got people actually adding sessions. They're actually doing more, and they're finding it that it's a release. I mean, the CDC recommends several recommendations. We know them all, wash your hands, we're just keeping social distancing.
Right.
But something that you don't hear reported as much, they're also recommending, hey, folks, stay in shape, stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of the best ways to keep your immune system up is to stay healthy. And that's what we're trying to do with this. And we've actually seen some opportunities. There's some opportunities with online training that you don't have with me in person.
That's the cliffhanger, because when we come back, I want to hear more about that and how this process works. We're talking to Garrett Williamson from Personal Edge Fitness, also, of course, the host of the radio show on Tuesday nights, Personal Edge Fitness, and online, Personal Edge Fitness. We'll talk about that when we get back. All right, it's high tech, brother.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. And conversation with Garrett Williamson, Personal Edge Fitness, Personal Edge Fitness radio show. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow night's show, what's coming up. But I'm intrigued here because you and I are talking during the break of some of the mechanics of this, too. So y'all were already... It built that muscle for several different reasons in your business model. You'd done online trading even out of state. So not as big a transition for y'all as others. But how, let me be a doofus here. How's it work, man?
No, that's actually a great question, because we have a lot of people contacting us thinking, I don't have this advanced technology. And what actually everybody does, and there's a variety of ways that we can reach out to people. In fact, it could be a great example. The first, what we're calling COVID-19 online clients. We're having to separate from our typical online clients.
Okay.
Our first COVID-19 online client started with us 2 weeks ago, and she is doing this from her iPad, and working with her iPad and whatever. And I told her I wouldn't tell her exact age, but she's north of 80.
Okay.
And doing
good
this and not having a
good
problem whatsoever.
So, I love it.
So it's real easy, and we are actually walking people through the mechanics, but simple: iPhone, a laptop, computer, iPad. Any of that stuff, as long as we can see you, and we use FaceTime, we use Skype, we've got a client using Facebook Portal, got a Zoom meeting, any of those. And if you've never used any of those, hey, no problem.
That was the next question.
Absolutely.
Somebody who doesn't use any of those,
right?
How about them?
We've been getting on a landline, we've been getting on a cell phone, we've been getting on a landline, and actually before the session, before anything starts, when people call us up, the first thing we find out is where you're going to be, what equipment do you have, if any, and you don't need any equipment to do this, but what media would you like to use? And we'll start asking them, okay.
So y'all are doing like tech stuff? Like if I call you
Absolutely.
And say, hey, I'm running a Samsung Galaxy and I have these apps or don't have these apps, you can say, okay, then go click this, then do this.
Exactly. I mean, we're walking through from pick up your phone, turn it on. Look, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Okay. We're walking everybody through every single bit of it. And whether it's a phone, iPad, or whatever, we'll find out what they have, device they have available to them. Then we'll help choose a media, and we'll tell them how to get that media, how to set it up. We had a 20.
See, this was my wonder. So you're answering,
absolutely.
But yeah.
Yeah, there's a gentleman. He's in his 80s also. Lindsay had a session with him today, and it was just sitting down, okay, how are we going to do this? And she sat there for 20 minutes and showed him and talked him through every single bit of it until they had everything set up, showed him how to set the device up so that she could see him, download the app, everything. I mean, you and I could do it right here. It's simple.
That's good. So if somebody is one of your clients already, they just need to reach out to you to get that. If somebody says, I have some time at home I didn't have before, maybe it's time to, you know, make sure we do stay healthy, like you said.
Right.
But how do they start that process?
But easy. And not only our clients, but we've had people ask this already. We want to make sure that everybody knows this. Look, we're all involved and interested in keeping everybody healthy. And if you're at home, you're stir crazy, you're interested in checking us out, give us a call. Whether you're a member or not, does not matter. You can call us at area code 251-341-0927. Or, of course, you can contact us at our website, which is personaledgefitness.com. But, you know, this day and age, a lot of people like to contact us through Facebook. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people contact us already that aren't members. And we're Personal Edge Fitness on Facebook and Mobile. Reach out to us. And what we'll do is we'll call up and we'll just sit down and do a conversation over the phone and kind of show you what we can do for you.
Okay, well, let's talk about this in a specific example. So I train with y'all.
Right.
And so I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be one of your online, your COVID-19 online.
There you go.
And so my process here, I've got a smartphone. I do have, obviously, computers here at work. And I'm going to set it up to where I can see you or Gary or Trey. I mean,
Lindsay, Gary, Josh, any of us.
I'm going to be able. I'm looking at the screen. I'm seeing y'all, and y'all are seeing me.
Right. We're able to see your form. You're able to see us, and not only see us but hear us. We've got Bluetooth headphones on, and we're able to see everything you're doing. You're able to hear everything. And
so if we're doing it incorrectly, or
we catch it.
Yeah. Or we're making sure we do all the reps you tell us.
Right. Right. Well, and the funny thing is that we've been able to describe over the phone to somebody how to conduct an exercise. I mean, having the background, having a master's degree and a bachelor's degree in exercise physiology, it's very simple to tell somebody how to engage a muscle, how to move a certain way. And we can literally do it with our eyes closed. So the fact that we're able to see you, and even if the for some reason we had a technical glitch, which I had one this morning, technical glitch, a pause came up on the screen, and I told the person before we started the exercise, we're going to be doing this with time. If for some reason something cuts out, you don't hear me, you're doing this for 1 second, pop out of the exercise. We're going that much of a detail to make this okay. as simple as possible.
So this is, I really do. I mean, I think this might be, like I said, these silver linings here. There may be more Absolutely. People that engage in this
right.
because of this pause in their normal work schedule.
Absolutely.
They've got time. They know they need to keep either right. either get some health or keep the health that they've got.
Well, I take it. Actually, excuse me for interrupting, but you're a great example. I mean, you're a small business owner, and you're busy, and you're getting information out about this thing. So I know your schedule's ramped up. We're having difficulty. We want to make sure you don't miss your session. You got time in your office. You got 15, 20 minutes, and you called us up. We're going to put on whatever trainer's available. We'll take you through a workout in your office, at home, doesn't matter where you are, and get this thing taken care of. Simply because you have an iPhone, I know you can get it done. And if mm-hmm. you don't mind me saying one more thing about the technology, we actually, the software company that we use that handles all of our business, it's an industry software, they're actually launching an integrated video so we can do face-to-face through the Personal Edge Fitness app. Now, you want to talk about making it easy.
You'll go proprietary app.
It'll be on your phone. Of course, that's going to be Samsung. It's going to be Apple. Mm-hmm. Any of that. You tap that, and you'll go straight to the video.
Now we're talking. Very easy. So we got to get the app. We figure out where we balance our phone, or we get one of those little holder deals.
I've exactly.
got one of the, I don't know what you call those things, but the holds the phone, little tripod thing, or something like that.
Business card holders
yeah.
work fantastic.
That's a good idea.
Business card holder, we've told people how to set it up in the back of a chair. There's a lot of little tricks of the trade. We've even got a way of using a book and opening up a book and holding it a certain way that you can set up a phone, an iPad. We've had to get very creative.
I like that. I like the creativity, man. And I want to talk about the show because we just got a couple minutes left, but if yeah. somebody's interested in reaching out to you that's not already a client, right. They just call in.
Give us a call. Yeah, 251-341-0927. If you don't mind, I'm sure they can call the station and you can put them in touch.
I got the digits.
Yeah, and the last one real quick is there's an opportunity here that you don't usually have when you're working out with us, and that is we've got people that, hey, I've got a relative in Birmingham. I got a relative, one of them called up, got a relative in Bakersfield, California. I said, you want to work out with them? We can put two people on at the same time and do the exact same workout. You're
nice.
Working out with your buddy. You can see him on the screen. I mean, it's pretty exciting.
You can talk trash?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, that keeps him motivated.
That's right. That's what it's all about. Okay, tomorrow night's show.
Tomorrow night's show, we're going to go with what we had planned. Of course, we're going to talk more about online training and what we're doing as far as this COVID-19 situation. But we've got Matt Broussard from Results Physiotherapy that's going to be on with us, talking about something we've had a lot of questions about, and that is dry needling. Now, a lot of people don't know what that is.
I'm raising my hand. I don't know what
exactly.
That is.
I mean, it's a fantastic therapy. They happen to be, they're very far advanced in this, been doing it for years. So Matt Broussard's going to be on talking about that. And we're also going to be taking questions, not only on that subject. If you've got questions about how to stay healthy during all this, we want to be there to help.
All right. This is great. I appreciate what y'all are doing. I mean, we're all, you know, like I said, the quote the other day from Pastor Chris Bell said, you know, situations like this squeeze a sponge, and then what comes out is what's in there the whole time. So we're talking about how people are showing the goodness of their hearts and showing their innovation. Right. He said squeezes like this just shows what's in the sponge. So good on you and so many other local businesses that are figuring out a way
Absolutely.
To overcome
Absolutely.
This adversity.
Well, and you've been saying this a lot, I know, and of course, I encourage everybody, buy local. Absolutely,
yes.
Buy local. Take care of your local business, man. And then please tune in to the show tomorrow night. Personalized Fitness Show, 6 p.m., right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you, man. Be tuned in.
Great.
And I'll be, can't wait to download the app. That'll be cool.
Fantastic.
So I can. All right, 1228 FM Talk 106.5. Coming up, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News joins us. Also, and we'll talk about one of the many questions I have for Todd. But coming up at 1 o'clock, too, representatives from the FBI, along with Public Safety Director James Barber, are going to join us. Talked about the squeezing of the sponge. And the good coming out, and the majority of sponges, the way I see the world, have good inside, and you squeeze them, but then there's the other side. And, the situation that's going on right now, can't you imagine that you would think people would do right? But in fact, we have fraudsters out there, scams going on, that are working off coronavirus. And the FBI wants you to be aware of it. So does Public Safety Director James Barber. And they'll join us coming up at 1 o'clock to talk more about that. All right. Some of the stuff we're going to talk to Todd Stacey about, and even though they're not in session now, and it was an empty House of Representatives that Speaker McCutcheon closed the session with last week, what happens now as they try to figure out how to balance state budgets going forward? What we talked to Garrett about, what we're all talking about here, this results in lower revenue, obviously, coming into the state. They had planned on revenue being at a higher level, and that's how they had built their budget. Well, that's not going to be the case, so what do they do? And does this change the chances for a compact with the Porch Bandit Creek Indians? Remember, Porch Bandit Creek Indians had come in offering a lot of money for exclusive gaming rights in the state. And there was pushback, obviously, on that, and people were asking, should there be a monopoly on this? What are the gaming rights worth in the state? Well, that may be a conversation of a different flavor now that folks in Montgomery are trying to figure out what they're going to do going forward with state budget. Would they rather enter into a deal like this or find some other revenue stream from a lottery or some kind of modification there to make up the budget, or are they going to cut big time at the state level? We'll talk about that coming up in a whole lot more with Todd Stacey. All right, phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll be right back.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday edition of the show. Thanks to Garrett Williamson for stopping in from Personal Wedge Fitness. Y'all say hello to my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, as he is there at the command center. Are you there in Montgomery, or have you... Where are you set up?
Yeah, we're in Montgomery. That's where our offices are. But I of course am being good and quarantined here at home, where I have an office and work a lot anyway. So it's not really much of a change in my daily routine, except we're not going to the state house every day.
No.
and around town and things like that. So bit of a different week as we're used to.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that with the State House. So, looking last week, Speaker McCutcheon said he was there, I guess, and what, to close the session or restarted it? What's going on?
Yeah, well, they had to meet. It was last Thursday, because under the rules, when they adjourn a day, they say, hey, we're going to meet next on this date certain. And when they do that, they actually do have to meet. They can't just blow it off. But they also passed a rule back during the snowstorms, I guess about 5 years ago, that if there was a state of emergency, then the legislature could, you know, indefinitely postpone their next meeting date. And so that's what they've done. They're actually coming back in tomorrow, both the Senate and the House. It's interesting. We've been given guidelines to, you know, we have to be in the gallery, which there's glass between the gallery and the chamber to watch their proceedings. We have to distance ourselves. The reporters have to distance ourselves from each other. So it's going to be an interesting environment. We were there on Thursday, and yeah, there were probably 8 or 10 reporters in the room, and everybody is in their different corner of the House chamber. So they're definitely taking precautions. But I'll tell you this, Sean, I don't love the idea of going into the State House. It's a pretty tight quarters mm-hmm. type of building anyway. And I mean, under normal circumstances, I don't like touching doorknobs in the State House, and so it is an uncomfortable kind of place to be.
Okay, but I mean, it seems to, after the governor has her, she and Scott Harris have their, Dr. Harris have their speech on, or their presser on Friday, they're closing down all these businesses in the state, talking about, you know, the president even yesterday talked about the extension for the month of April with the social distancing. It seems to, is it tone deaf, the fact that they're, you know, meeting tomorrow in Montgomery?
Well, and to be clear, the reason why they're meeting is to come up with a plan for when to meet again.
But right? They're still they meeting. Can't. But they're still. I agree
completely that it's a risk. I think everybody knows that. They have in the advisories that they've put out, the House and the Senate have basically set out these guidelines for being in the chamber. The Senate, I think they're going to do roll call votes where senators basically stay in their offices. But you're right. I mean, they're coming in to Montgomery, coming in from all different parts of the state. I think you may see some members stay home and not risk it by going to Montgomery, maybe some of the older ones, and it's certainly anybody with symptoms. But what the reason they're doing it is to come up with a plan for when to meet again. They're talking about April 18th. April 28th. They're talking about April 28th as, you know, restarting the session just to get the basic minimum done, because that would give them about 3 weeks to have meeting days and, you know, pass the budgets such as they are, pass, you know, the economic development bills that are going to expire this year, just the bare bones, what can we get done during the session. But if they don't actually vote on it, then there is not a plan for meeting again.
Okay, but that's the optics of it. I mean, obviously, they have work they have to do, but the optics of it, even, I mean, you're talking about the 28th of April, that's still before the, you know, the president saying yesterday the whole month of April in that, you know, in that social distancing. And you can keep your social distance, but still you're opening up, I think, some criticism out there.
Absolutely. I don't know what the alternative is. We don't have the vote by proxy or vote by teleconference or anything like that. So I know that it's not, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to be in that building. I would imagine a lot of lawmakers don't either. But that's the decision they've made, is to come in, vote on some kind of plan to meet again, and then go home. So I don't think it will be a lot of time spent there. And they certainly have taken precautions as far as keeping everybody apart. But yeah, certainly open to criticism. I just don't know what the alternative is, because, you know, they have to, if they don't actually vote on it, there's no date certain to meet again.
Okay. So, I mean, they go through the procedure, get that done, but most of the heavy lifting here in the legislature, this is true even if we're not dealing with a pandemic, is done not on the floor of the House or floor of the Senate, right? I mean, the deal making.
Yeah. Well, the budget writing, I mean, that happens in the, you know, in Bill Poole's office, Representative Bill Poole, who's right. He's writing the education budget this year, and his job just got a lot tougher, because we don't know how much, but we know that this pandemic and the response to it, all the closures of businesses, we know that it's going to really impact the state budgets, sales taxes, income taxes. I mean, all of those things that go into the state coffers and remember, we were going to have a really excellent budget year, maybe even a record-setting budget year in terms of how much money the legislature had to give to schools and mm-hmm. to the other agencies of state government. That's out the window now. We don't know exactly how much it's going to be impacted, simply because we don't know how long this is going to last. But absolutely. And so how can they write a budget, you know, for this next, this coming up year, when we don't even know what the receipts are going to be? So they want to take as much time as they can. And I've talked to some of these budget writers. They're wanting to take as much time as they can. And maybe at the end of April, we'll have some kind of, you know, better idea of, okay, just what is the long-term impact? Is this going into September, or can we get reasonably back to, you know, normal, you know, sooner than that? I think maybe you could give us a month and we'll have more information.
Okay, but here's the rub. You got to, if you're looking at that, you know that it is some level lower than what projected revenues were, right? We know that's true. So that's fair to say, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so you got to raise the water, lower the bridge. And if you're looking at it, are you going to move towards cutting, you know, number one, those things you listed out that were going to be new? Okay, those things are probably not going to make the cut, but do you look at it and go, what would we cut in Alabama state government going forward? Where are we going to get the savings? Or do you start looking at the other side of the ledger and say, how are we going to make up those revenues?
Well, I think one thing, Congress is expected to, in the next phase, right? I guess we're on phase four now.
Yep, four.
Is expected to offer some kind of relief to states as far as their budgets go. Because every state's in the same boat as far as that goes.
Although we do depend so much more on sales tax than some other states, right? We are, I mean, not every state is like our state.
Well, yeah, and I mean, some, like the state of Florida, they don't even have an income tax. So they're completely dependent on tourism and
property tax.
Property taxes and things like that. So, I mean, yeah, different states are affected in different ways. Sales tax is an interesting thing. I mean, like, the retail shops are all shut down, right? Nobody's going to buy clothes and things. But the grocery stores are, you know, just on fire right now. So It's a bit of a mixed bag as far as sales tax goes. We know income tax is going to be way down. People filing for unemployment, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of it going on. So, yeah, I mean, the budgets are going to be impacted. There's going to be at least some relief from Congress. Don't know, you know, exactly what that means. You know, so I don't know. Back in the days before the Rolling Reserve Act, we got used to proration, right?
Yep.
The old P word, where the legislature would budget for a little more than they should have, and the receipts didn't come in, and so schools had to get cut. And that was a really painful time. Remember, I mean, teachers would get pink slipped. It was just a really painful time. We haven't had it in probably 15 years or 20 years because they finally went to this rolling reserve. So, I think we do have a decent amount of money in reserves because of that, because the state has saved some of that. But I don't think it's not a protracted amount of time that could be used, right? There's a rainy day fund, but it's not.
Not if it rains every day. Yeah.
Right. not if it keeps on raining.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're talking about giant cuts. I think you're talking about going back to, so some pretty basic budget levels. I mean, is that unfortunate? Yes. But I think they're trying to budget, okay, let's pass a bare bones, how we can get through the school year, how agencies can operate. Let's just pass those things, then maybe come back in the fall during special sessions to pass supplemental. But when we know, all right, the economy's coming back, we know a little bit more, we can budget a little higher now. Get it done, the bare bones thing first, and then come back in the fall and figure it out.
Well, okay. I guess the road I was leading to is this question of gaming, right? Whether we're talking about the passage of the lottery, which we, you know, that's all been a whole nother discussion in the past, why they couldn't get this thing done, versus maybe the compact with the Porch Band of Creek Indians. In other words, do those ideas that I felt put on ice by what the governor said in their state address and paneling a commission, yada yada yada. Do these things now in the back channels, and not clandestine back channels, but everybody away from Montgomery, are they on the phone going, well, how much money are we talking about? What would that mean for our budget? I wonder if they have more traction.
You know, I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned it, but you're right. And there's an old saying in politics, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. So I mean, They're certainly, given the fact that we're going to be in a pretty significant budget problem, it could revive a conversation eventually. I wouldn't say right now. Nobody in Montgomery is talking about any kind of legislation. Everybody is accepting the new reality that everything is done for this regular session, right? I mean, you've got a couple of bills that may make it through in addition to the budgets, but there's nobody's pet bill is getting through. By that I mean medical marijuana, gambling, stuff like
that. What about prisons though? I mean, I've for 5-6 years we've been talking about that, this threat of federal receivership. Do you think we get a pass on that for this year? Do the feds go, well, with all this stuff going on, y'all have another year?
I actually asked Speaker McCutcheon about that the other day in the House, and he's a big proponent of prison reforms, and he's been really driving the train on that in the House. And he said, you know, given the situation, that he was confident that the Department of Justice and the federal courts would understand that there just was no ability of the legislature to do this in the regular. Because remember, what they're doing is basically language to the courts and to DOJ to say, hey, we're trying. We are putting forth an effort. We are trying to solve this problem. We need to demonstrate that to them. And so, but the speaker basically said, look, they're going to have to understand that we couldn't get it done in this regular session, but perhaps it's a topic for a special, right? Perhaps if there's a special, you know, and obviously the governor decides what's in those, and these are her bills. That's a possibility down the road.
All right, coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk about how to get his email in your inbox 6 days a week with so much news. You got to get hold of it. We'll do that. We'll be right back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Keeps on raining.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning, or Midday Mobile, one of those shows. Yeah, this one would be the midday. By the way, I was going to give you a heads up, too, on the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. I want you to check that out. How has your business been affected by the state's coronavirus shutdowns? No effect, minor effect, major effect, or I've had to close. We'll talk more about those numbers coming in just a second. Also, while you're there, check the tab for COVID-19 local news. All the interviews we do that have to do with the health side, the business side, the political side of this all end up under that tab on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. All right, continue our discussion with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, which more than ever, I mean, you got to have this email in your inbox each morning, and it's pretty darn easy. I could even do it. Todd, tell the folks how they can do it.
Yeah, it's pretty easy, and now's a great time because so many people are just thirsty for not just news, but accurate, fair news that tells a story. So it's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. It's free. No cost at all, but you'll want to get that email in your inbox every morning.
Okay, we've been talking about the revenue issues at the state level, and this all is stemming from obviously COVID-19. But Governor Ivey specifically closing down, now, you know, the restaurants were first and the bars, but specifically closing down a whole bunch of sectors in the Alabama economy deemed, I guess, non-essential in her communications on Friday. One of those. And I saw you had a piece on this at aldailynews.com, gun stores remaining open. All right. So I want to bounce this around with you. So gun stores remain open because they're considered essential, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You pointed out in the email this morning that, what was it, background checks were up 300%?
Yeah, there's been a huge, and that's nationwide.
Okay.
There's been a huge surge in people wanting guns, and I get it, right? There's people, these are uncertain times, people want to be protected.
Okay, so those are up. Now, the governor says sporting goods stores are closed, but like we just said, gun stores are open. Let's play this game with me. How many sporting goods stores are there that also have a gun counter? I mean, there's some that are just straight sporting goods, but the majority of them I know have a gun counter there.
Yeah, I mean, I think like a Dick's or a, you know, Academy, I think most of them sell guns. So I don't know where they fall. I would assume they're just because they have guns doesn't make them 100% guns.
Right. So I don't know how what open. Percentage. Yeah. What percentage? I mean, when this is the problem, I understand the governor is trying to cover as many bases without getting too specific. But when you say things like that and you don't define things, then, you know, you might have somebody out there who's just in the sporting goods business, right? They just sell kids' team apparel or whatever. They're shut down. And here's the big box store that also sells the same stuff against that local business, but they got a gun counter, so they stay open. I mean, I'm not anti. I spend way more time at the gun counter than I do in the kids' athletic stuff. But I have to ask the question.
Yeah, and, you know, they've had to come back and clarify quite a bit because they're – we've never done this before. We've never had to close, you know, down businesses. I mean, it's almost like a hurricane a very bad hurricane, a Category 5, coming to every county in Alabama. It's just really unimaginable. So they've had to come and come back and clarify certain things. You know, early on, there was some confusion of whether restaurants could still do takeout, things like that. So and I imagine if there are questions like that, yeah, they'll need to clarify once and for all. Okay, who's open, who's not? Because the whole point is to keep people safe, and the whole point is to keep people from congregating and spreading this disease, this virus. And so, you know, yeah, big box stores, could be a problem. But how fair is it?
That's right.
You know, if one gets to stay open and the other doesn't, that's certainly a fairness problem. Also, the retail liquor stores, all the ABC stores, or most of them, are open.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I have a specific text about that, and I've been talking about, because you know I have my own battle with the ABC stores, retail stores, but early on they said they were going to keep them all open. Then they said they were closing some and leaving some open. Now today people are saying, what's the story with ABC stores? Are they staying open? As you know, right now they're not closing, right?
Yeah, they're open. They're open for business, and that's for the foreseeable future.
Because they're essential state government.
Essential, definitely essential to a lot of us. But it is an interesting question, because I've gotten a lot of questions about it too. I appreciate the liquor store being able to be open so you can go pick up supplies, but how safe is that?
Yeah, why is it safer than a private store?
I do think the private ones get to stay open as well. But again, how safe is this? There's a lot of people staying at home and doing a lot of drinking. We did a story about domestic violence. Reports and instances have gone up. So
yeah.
I do have some concerns about that. I will say, when I went to the store the other day, they were definitely taking big time precautions. They only let, I think, two or three people into the store at one time. They had to go fetch your liquor for you. And so, I mean, they're definitely taking precautions, but it's a good question. I mean, then again, you go and shut them down, and I think people might carp a little bit more loudly.
There you go. It shows where our priorities are for state government. Todd, as always, I appreciate your time, and we'll check back in with you real soon.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Remember how I talked about it last hour, and we talked about it last week with Pastor Chris Bell, that in stressful times and the squeeze is put on, squeeze shows what's inside a sponge. And most of the time you squeeze a sponge and good comes out. Sometimes bad comes out, though, as well. Unfortunately, we've got to talk about that coming up next. Stay right there.